Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Can a life coach help you? Maybe. In our talk today with Lonnie, we just talk about exactly her being a life coach, how it can help you, and sometimes how you can help yourself. We start with what is the number one emotion holding us back. You'll find that out. And also to what is buffering? How does it help hide our deeper emotion and how do we fix it? We also talk about too breaking through challenges by taking a step-by-step process. Also, we find out too how to make our mind and body fit and what is your why to help you get there. She also talks about too also the primitive brain versus the frontal lobe and how parts of your brain help or hurt your process of getting your mind and body healthier. Also too, we talk about retraining your brain by using past experiences. And Lonnie explains also with life coaching how it can help you anywhere you are, and also hopefully doing it before you are desperate for help. Also, Lonnie talks about too how she starts her sessions with finding out what your challenges and successes were the previous weeks. And she talks about too, which is important to me, how being physically, if you want to call it healthy, allows your overall mind and body to work together to keep your body less stressed from an overall perspective of overall life. Okay, enjoy the talk. Again, the show notes has highlights of previous podcast, links to there, along with highlights of the overall show, and also links to Lonnie's information. Contact her for any questions you might have free on Instagram page, Messenger, and she'll take care of anything you need. All right, so enjoy the talk, my friends, and I'll see you next week. Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. This is my show I try to do as often as I can with interviewees like Lonnie. She is a local life coach in Claremont. I need her help. I need help with her to help me understand how to motivate my patients because they want to exercise. They want to get healthy. They want to get better as a chiropractic patient, but I'm not a therapist. My wife would tell you that up front. I'm very mechanical. These are what's going to work for you. If you can do them, great. If not, I can't help you. I need Lonnie to help me understand how to help them get them to a better state, maybe mentally, physically, in their spiritual life, their family life, even their economic life too, how much they want to support their family to make us, myself and my patients feel balanced along with her clients and her client experience. So Lonnie Kim, this is our show here. I want my audience to kind of understand where you came from in the past, along with when you helped out as an education too, along with where you are now. So give us your bio, ma'am.
Okay. Good morning. So I, like Dr. Tony referred to, it was a public school teacher for a while, and then I became a mom, and my world developed into homeschooling, and my oldest is now 17, so I've been doing it for a while. And I've done homeschool consulting through the years, which led me to a lot of techniques that are used in life coaching. And so I decided to become a life coach because it really expanded who I got to work with. And that was super exciting to have these challenges and really see people grow and take their lives to kind of like the next level and just be fulfilled. Yep. I think is what really was so motivating in the whole process.
Nice. And going there, you have the 17-year-old child. You have other younger kids too, correct?
Yes. So a 14-year-old and then a smaller one, my 7-year-old.
Perfect. And so you have a full plate as it is. When do you have time to fit clients in, or how does that work with your schedule?
So I have defined time. And in the morning, I will meet with a couple clients. And then in the afternoon, I will meet with a couple of clients. And so it helps break up my day for being there for my kids so that I'm not gone like a huge chunk of time because we do homeschool.
Perfect.
But it's also a manageable amount of time in the morning and splitting up in the afternoon that I can do what I need to do and still work with them. So we found a happy balance.
Well, it's like this, right? Where you're on a Zoom call or a streamer call like this. My sponsor streamer, which they don't pay me anything yet, but hopefully they will in the future. Is a lot of it is how do we communicate to each other in not in person way, but a personal way to make ourselves and our clients and our patients happier, correct? And a better, if you want to call it better, physical and mental health. You talked about the show too. Some of our topics are going to be basically how do we find, and we talked about a little bit before the show too, emotion. What is the emotion that helps
us feel imbalanced or insufficient, to go and get right into some of the questions that helps people, if you want to call it, starting with where they are versus where they can get to. So what is someone's biggest concern with trying to find something that they don't feel like they're I'll call it being worthy, but able to actually find that balance in their life?
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head is worthiness. It's not really the thing we look at as an emotion, but really it becomes an emotion. It becomes a state of mind, feeling worthy. And so, very often we are off balance. We are lacking. We feel drained in one area of our life. And that really is this cascade effect that starts. So what we do is try to pull from other parts of our life, and then we start to drain other parts of our lives. And then it just becomes this cascade effect. And as you well know, that becomes something not only in our minds, but in our bodies, that we really start to notice, because it becomes this outward physical manifestation of all this mental drain that we put on ourselves. And so that's really what being tired. I mean, if you are tired mentally, physically, emotionally, that is definitely your first clue that you are draining some part of yourself, and then probably having to draw on other parts of your life to kind of compensate. But that's catching up with you if you can feel it, right?
And that's what I worry about too with my patients is, okay, yes, your neck hurts, yes, your back hurts, but what is the cause of this? Are you overworking yourself? Are you not finding time for yourself to de-stress, to relax, and get by to recharge over time? And then, and for me, again, I'm not a therapist. I'm going to go, we'll go find that balance, do something, you know, go work out more, whatever it is, wake up earlier. And how do you get someone from where they are in that sense? When they're there too, at what point do they experience, for example, anxiety, depression, or anger, or I'm just like, is that part of that being that worthiness, that imbalance?
Right. Definitely. All of those are wonderful. Anxiety, depression, anger, because really a lot of these emotions are more a resistance actually to processing what you feel. And I explained something to my patients called buffering.
Okay.
So buffering is when we are basically choosing a different activity and using it to buffer away from emotions that we're really feeling. So for instance, I'm glad you touched on anger, because usually anger is really a reaction to something rather than feeling something, right? So for instance, if you two boys in the play yard, right, scuffling, and one boy hits the other, he's probably not going to stop there, right? It's not like, oh, there goes my anger.
That's it.
It's all processed, right? It's like you keep doing it, right? It's because it's a reaction, and you're really holding back something, maybe like fear or insufficiency or intimidation. And so as you hold that back, right, the anger comes out as a reaction to holding that back. So all of those emotions, especially anger, is usually a reaction to something we're trying not to feel. And so we use anger as a buffer, and sometimes it's other things, right? I mean, very much addictions are used as bufferings. Netflix, social media, all of these things we use to buffer away from what we don't want to feel, that disappointment, that anger, that insufficiency.
Well, and a lot of it, and taking the other side of the coin too, how much Netflix, how much social media is, if you want to call it, is it a, in the sense where is it healthy to, yes, I'm going to watch a movie. Yes, I'm going to go on my social media, take care of my business, whatever it is. But am I taking that, is it unhealthy to go, I'm going to do that instead of going to go hang out with my family? I'm doing that because I don't want to hang out with so and so. I don't want to do this today.
Exactly. So when you for instance, if you're a parent, right, and you come home and the house is in chaos, you have several options, right?
Yeah, but my option is walk backwards back to my car and then get the heck out of there before they even notice I was there.
That's my
personal reaction. That's what I do.
Right. Or it may be you walk into the kitchen and it's time to start dinner. The kids are chaotic, right? And instead of addressing them and whatever needs to be addressed, you go cook, you turn on your Netflix, put it up while you you prep dinner, right? And then
like
you're
they're
able
not even
to
there.
Like, right. You enter this like fake world of Netflix and you ignore everything around you because it's just too much. It's overwhelm, right? It's these too many signals, thoughts entering your brain, and you are just not able to process all of that. So
plus you can come home just from another massage every day and everything. You came home from maybe a stressful day from work, you're tired, whatever it is. So like you're just coming home to feeling like you can handle all of this anyways.
Yeah. You have it one end and the other. Yeah. And when those two worlds collide, it's just too much for our brains to take in. And instead of, we're just not taught mindset management. It really is, I feel like there's so many things about, and you being a chiropractor probably really understand how there's so many little tweaks, like, right, how we hold ourselves, right, how we even sit. Do we sit funny? Do we always cross our legs, and these little tweaks are really these compound into these larger problems. And so mindset, physical health, financial, there's things that unfortunately we're not taught really in school. And so we come away from life with all this knowledge, but not really how to handle it and use it to our advantage rather than our disadvantage, right? When we hit these problems of physical, mental health.
And how do we, in that sense, where if I'm walking through like that and that happens on a daily basis, how do I get myself, if you want to call it energy management throughout the day, so my mind and body are able to handle something like that, a stressful event, or not want to go zone out somewhere on my Netflix or something else? Well, what's the best way to strategize, say, when you start your day, throughout the day, and ending your day?
Right. So one of them is to check how often you are buffering. And so I always tell my clients, we call them thought downloads. Write a list on anything that you're struggling with, all your thoughts about it, and really decide what thoughts are working for you and not working for you. So for instance, for social media, for anything you're buffering with, whether it's Netflix, whether it's some other extracurricular activity, right? When does it become something you run to as your safety, right? And that becomes where you find your peace and comfort rather than where you're supposed to find it, which is hopefully with your family, with your friends, relationships. So when you start to turn away from relationships, then you really know that you have hit some kind of hurdle and that you really need to start to think about what you should be doing and maybe what you shouldn't be doing, right? So all the buffering behaviors, right? So
so isolation is not a good thing.
Isolation is not a good thing. And we are in what remains of the quarantine and we're feeling isolated, right?
Yes.
But there's still ways to connect with people, right? Even if you live alone. But when you start to really avoid those relationships, so if someone were to send you a message and you're really not wanting to get back to that message and you rather, go on Netflix, go on social media, even something as simple as, go cook dinner. I mean, just avoiding that personal interaction. That's when you know, hold on, something's not right here. Because we were meant to be personable people. We're meant to have relationships with people and we were created that way. So when we start to turn away from that is really when we have to start to think, uh-oh. What's gone wrong here? Or not so much what's gone wrong here, but what can I do to turn around my feelings, my thoughts and my feelings so that I'm not avoiding this situation.
It's almost seems like you need a good self-check system to make sure you're staying on track with what's going to keep you mentally and physically healthy.
Definitely.
And when you're talking about things like that, what does it take someone to start building up that, if you want to call it that, self-check system to get into where it becomes unconscious to them? Where, okay, I see what's happening to me. Let me get out of this little rut of them right now, get back on track. What's the time frame for something like that? Just overall in general, I guess, for at least this situation.
Okay. So I say spend at least 5 minutes in thought over any challenge that you're facing. And it sounds like this small amount of time, but silence is something that we're super afraid of as a society. Like, it scares us to have silence and quiet, because everything is fed to us, you know, even questions we have, right? Alexa, Google, you know,
exactly.
You just type them in, right? Or, you know, if you have an iPhone, Siri, you just ask, talk to your phone. And so we become actually so afraid of silence and what's within ourselves. So I say it takes 5 minutes, and it'll probably feel like 50 minutes because you don't do this on a normal basis. But take those 5 minutes and just really collect your thoughts about whatever situation that you're avoiding. Because your brain is so powerful, and you really can be the solution to your own problem within your own mindset. So for instance, I had a client who, talking about physical fitness, she was just avoiding getting back into exercising, and she really couldn't understand what her issue was, right? And we had to break it down. So her thought was, I'm going to wake up early in the morning, I'm going to work out, and then I'll go on with the rest of the day. But because she didn't actually have a plan for it, she's like, oh my gosh, waking up early, oh, that just sounds super tiring, right? She didn't even want to spend the time to just say, okay, well, what does that look like? And it literally only took her half an hour earlier. She only had to wake up half an hour earlier to get ready on time.
9:30. Jeez. Said 10 o'clock, it was 9:30, something like that?
Yes. Wow. Right? And so she had to be ready at 8 because her husband had a conference call. She only had to wake up a half an hour earlier. And so the thought initially was, oh my gosh, I have to wake up early, or if I can't exercise, my day is going to be overwhelming. So we just broke it down and I said, okay, waking up half an hour early, what's your goal when you wake up half an hour early?
Yeah.
And why do you need to wake up half an hour early? And she said, oh, I have to be ready by 8. I said, okay. So if you told yourself, I have to wake up at 6:45 to be ready at 8, what does that entail, right? You just need to be ready by 8.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, I can do that. Like, I can get ready by 8. I'm like, yes, you don't have to see your whole day. You don't have to plan out your whole day. I said, your goal is just to be ready by 8 o'clock, right? So,
but it's easy to us, right? It's easy to us to think about that. What was her block in her brain that caused her to think she couldn't do it? What was it, just her mindset? Was it, what was part, I guess, her detailed mindset of why she felt it was such a big block for her?
Right. So we often feel overwhelmed because we are not narrowing down our goal to exactly what it is that we want to do.
Okay.
Right. So for instance, if you were to say, if someone said, I want to run a marathon, you know, that's kind of this overwhelming for me. That would be this overwhelming thought of, yeah, no, I'm not even going to start. Like, run a marathon, I can maybe run 3 miles and then I'm spent. I'm done. Right. But if someone gives you a plan and it's like, okay, so for this week, you just need to walk half a mile and then run half a mile.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound? It's like, oh, I can do that. And if you tell them, well, that's just your first step. Can you take your first step?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could take my first step, right? And then you just work up to it. It seems very, very manageable, right? So for instance, for your patients, right, it might be this routine that you give them. It might be like, okay, here's your maintenance routine.
Yeah.
And then they're thinking, and it maybe takes, what's an average maintenance routine for one of your clients?
10 minutes of stretching.
Okay, 10 minutes of stretching, right?
10 minutes of stretching, yeah.
And they're thinking, I don't have 10 minutes. I totally don't have 10 minutes. Nope, sorry, Dr. Tony, right? And then you're thinking, well, I can't help you then, right? So how do we work with this, right? And they'll be like, okay, really? What does 10 minutes look like? How do you find 10 minutes that you can actually give up? Does that mean 5 minutes less on Facebook and 5 minutes less on Instagram? Can you do that?
You can even do it. You can do the stretches while you're even on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or any of those things. You can even do it while you're on there. Right. I'm okay with that.
Or even that.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
And that's actually a great one, is to pair those habits for your patients with something they already do. Like you were talking about, you know, if you love Netflix, go ahead and do it during Netflix, right? If you are an outdoor person, right? You love the outdoors. Could you go take a hike, sit down twice for 5 minutes, enjoy the scenery, and do your stretches, you know?
If you find something else, so you're saying basically find something that they're actually good at already. They like the bike, like the walk, like the jog, like the hike. Mm-hmm. That gives them a opportunity to actually add something to their already happy routine to get them to just assimilate that combination.
Yeah. So when you can pair, you know, a new habit with a habit you already have, you really increase your likelihood that you're going to follow through with that habit. So for, you know, your clients, that would be a wonderful thing to do. Or even those who maybe have planned breaks, right? Yep. What do you do on your break, really, honestly? You know, like your 15-minute break. Are you using it productively? And I'm not saying we don't all need breaks, right? But doesn't it feel good to stretch, right? Doesn't it feel good to invest in yourself, like those 10 minutes, and feel so different, right? 10 minutes a day, that's 70 minutes a week. That's over an hour that you just invested in your body to create this huge, huge benefit, right? That is actually probably going to start to free up more time for you because you're not feeling so bad, you know?
And once you've done it long enough, I'm assuming you're going to feel better from doing that stretch. So at that point, you're going to want more stretches and you want to keep doing them. You just got to give someone that time, that window. Okay, you're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to feel a little sore, maybe a little stressed about it. But once you do it long enough, then your body will get used to that. That becomes your normal and it actually makes you feel good. I think that's the hard part. People sometimes will realize to do something better for your health, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. It's going to be a little bit sometimes stressful to get over that initial hump. So it becomes so you actually see the results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that you said that because I think also people feel like if something doesn't feel happy all the time, that's something wrong. And one of the things I work with my clients a lot on is feeling discomfort. So whether it's mental, emotional, or physical, not harmful, right? Like we combine harmful and discomfort with the same thing. But as we well know, people who work out feel discomfort all the time, right?
So
you up your game and then the next day you're sore. That's not a bad thing, right? It's just discomfort because you've pushed yourself to another level.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with habits that we do is if we tell ourselves ahead of time, oh, okay, so this might take a little bit of effort. It might be a little bit difficult in the beginning. What we do is when we prepare our brains for discomfort, it actually takes away from the discomfort and your brain actually is willing to do it. Just like if you tell yourself, okay, I'm going to up my weight by 5 pounds today. I'm probably going to be a little sore tomorrow. When you wake up and maybe your quads are a little tender, your brain doesn't freak out. It's just almost like, oh, I expected this, you know? And there's a little bit of like excitement, like, like this is just proof that I did something really difficult. And our brains are going to process not only physical fitness that way, but mental fitness that way too. So when you give them a routine and you say, okay, give yourself a week to get used to this routine and just know that, you know, the first week you're going to feel it a little bit. And then also your brain's going to resist it a little bit because it's something new and a little bit challenging. But I promise you, when you come see me next time, it's going to feel a lot different. And it's going to be, once it's part of your routine, you're going to feel so different. And not only physically, right, but emotionally, they're going to feel so different because that burden of pain has been lifted from, like, just processing even mentally, right? I mean, chronic pain, it's why people are sent into depression and different mental issues, because it takes a toll on your brain too, not just your your physical fitness, like head down.
Exactly. And I think a lot of it is when people can think outside of tomorrow, today, and okay, well, like you had mentioned before, if I want to run a marathon, how do I bring the small little uncomfortable challenges for me so that big challenge doesn't seem like it's going to be so painful, so hurtful? Mm-hmm. And talk to your clients too a lot about the physiological changes that occur when you actually reach a goal, such as producing more endorphins, more serotonin, mm-hmm. more breaking down catecholamine, cortisol, things like that. Do you go that in depth with some of your clients?
I wouldn't say I name all. But we do talk about how the brain works, and mm-hmm. yes, you know, you have different hormones in your brain and chemical receptors. I mean, all these, you know, all these things that help, or exactly why you think the way you do, right? And so we do talk about that and really go into that, I would say, psychological aspect of mindset. And that helps them understand why they're doing what they're doing, right? It's just not something arbitrary. There's mm-hmm. actually reasons why practicing these things is so important. And it is really hard initially. And I love, you're in your profession of helping physically, but I love examples done with physical fitness because people are so accepting that physical fitness is challenging and can hurt and, you know, is really hard. But then when we come to mental fitness, we think it's supposed to be easy. It's supposed to come naturally. Yeah. It's always we're always supposed to be happy, right? And it's that's not the way it is. And I think even that acceptance of knowing that you don't have to be happy all the time, like, that's not an indication of productivity. It's not an indication of who you are. That alone really reduces anxiety in people.
Wait a second. Yeah.
Yeah. To say, you know what, if you had a good 12, let's say without sleeping, like a good 8 hours and maybe 8 hours of maybe frustration, that's actually normal.
That's normal, okay. Thing for people. Yeah.
Right. But so many people have like this Instagram, Facebook version mm-hmm. of what they think the world looks like. And so we've really conditioned our brains to think, oh, if I'm not smiling, if I'm not in an Instagram worthy moment, something's gone wrong. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. Right. There's a reason why Instagram is only like one picture from your whole entire day, your whole entire week.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is when you get around with that imagery, okay, how do I, if I'm not happy, how do I get to where I'm doing the work I need to do to keep myself at a happier state where mm-hmm. I'm going to have downtime? I'm human, right? So I'm going to have good days and bad days. Mm-hmm. Happy, in my sense, is only, you're only happy if you've actually had a normal day, an off day. It's relative to what your overall day. If your every day is happy, that's your normal. It's like, mm-hmm. why am I happy all the time? What am I, mm-hmm. am I doing enough in my mind, fulfilling things to make my body and my personality, my value, so I can be happy? Am I being responsible enough? If there's a way to say that.
Yeah. So that's a great thing to touch upon because you're talking about like relative, right? Everything mm-hmm. is kind of like this sense of relative. So what for your patients, what would be really great is to say, when you have, Dr. Tony has given you your stretching routine for the week, what's a great way to think about it? It would be like, what are evidences that I can find 10 minutes in my day So rather than all the reasons why you can't do something, what are all the evidences that you can find this time? Because it's kind of like a court of law. Like, your brain is the judge. And yes, you're trying to present evidence to the judge so that he can rule in favor or not favor. So not in favor, right? So if your brain is judging Dr. Tony's stretching routine, you need to present it evidences that this is going to work. 10 minutes? Come on now.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes it's as simple for my clients as, okay, here's the thing. When you get home, before you step in the house, I want you to do 5 minutes of stretching.
That's
Nobody
it.
Knows that you're home yet, right? You haven't stepped into the door yet. You've got 5 minutes to yourself, right? And then maybe maybe not on their way to work, but like once they get to work, again, 5 minutes in the car before you step into the hustle and bustle of your job, take that extra 5 minutes, right? So before work and after work, there you go. You've got your 10 stretching Done. Minutes. And I would say, what an awesome way to start your workday and end your workday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Relaxing those muscles that are probably tensed up from working, right? So you're also like almost pre-investing in yourself. If you do it before work, you're already like bringing down that stress, bringing down that tension before you even go to work. And now your capacity to be able to handle your day is even greater. So I would say that would be a great way to break up the routine and make it very doable.
Well, that's my thing too, is sometimes I'll kind of ask them some pre-questions of, are you a morning person? Are you a night mm-hmm. owl? And work around their schedule. Okay, I have more energy in the morning. I can get up early and do a couple exercises, go for a walk, whatever it is. Or I'm a night owl, so I don't have to work. I'll have them do things after work. So it's fine finding, like mm-hmm. you said, the time for them. I had one patient where she was so stressed, she had heart palpitations. Mm-hmm. And medically, she was fine. She had no heart problems at all. It was so stressed, she's going to quit her job. So I would tell you, like you mentioned earlier too, your lunch break. What do you do in your lunch break? Sometimes I'll fiddle around. I'll have a little lunch. I go, well, why don't you start walking just 10 minutes on your lunch break? It became mm-hmm. half an hour. Then the full lunch break, she would eat her lunch during her break time. So by the time I was done with her, within probably 2-3 months, she was wanting to walk at lunch, walking after, it was in the summer, so longer days, walking with her husband after work. So she was able to bring her heart problems down to de-stress her body, because now she found her windows where she could do things. Sometimes I think a lot of it is people just don't know what to do. And does stress make people do more things or less things when people are stressed?
Much more active
or less active when they're stressed? What do you think is, what's the comment?
Less active or more active?
Yeah.
Well, I would say we're less productive.
Okay.
Now, some people, the way they register it is some people are very much the doers. They define themselves by what they do. So mm-hmm. those people start to do too much, right?
That
and it doesn't get them to their goal,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the people who get stuck, right? Mm-hmm. They are like, I don't know what to do. I am going to mm-hmm. continue to buffer mm-hmm. by eating, by watching Netflix, by going on social media, by all these other things that mm-hmm. they find to fill their time, because they really don't know how to do it. You know, how they should be doing it, right? They don't have a defined way, set of steps to get to where they want to be. So when you are not producing the result that you want, and you're I work with a lot of thought work. And so for me, it's really getting down to those thoughts about why you're doing something. So we focus so much on action, right?
Yep.
Like mm-hmm. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, not working, it's not working, it's not working. And it's not so much your action, it's really your mindset and your thoughts towards it. So for instance, performing, getting on stage, maybe for a play. Well, there's different ways that you could take that. My daughter would be ecstatic. It would be so exciting for her. For me, that would give me heart palpitations. And that would make me like go break out in a cold sweat, right? Yeah. So we have this one circumstance and we can see it's not our actions, right? She could get on stage, I could get on stage, right? I could maybe deliver what they're asking for, she could deliver what they're asking for. It's not the action, it's the thought behind it, right? For me, it's like, oh my goodness, like this right. is causes fear.
Yeah.
What if I fall? What if I mess up? I'm gonna be humiliated, right? And she's like, oh my gosh, like this is great. Like people are looking at me, people are paying attention to me.
Wow. So
that our circumstance doesn't, right, dictate, right, what our actions are, and our actions aren't really going to determine how we feel about what we do. And so we need to get down to that thought about the whole situation. So I say curiosity is always the way I look at things. Like,
okay.
So for instance, for you, if you were to give your patients a 10-minute stretching routine. 10 minutes, come on, people. And I would say, if they are resistant to it, ask yourself, why?
Yeah.
Right? Why do I feel like I can't find 10 minutes in a day?
Yeah.
Is it because I don't think I'm worth it? Is it because mm-hmm. I put others before myself and I make myself the last priority? Is it because I don't think my health is really that important? You know, there's all these questions to ask ourselves, like, why would we avoid something good for ourselves? I always say anything good for yourself, if you're avoiding it, ask yourself, yeah. why? Because in that is where you can really do a lot of work within your own self. That doesn't require us doing a 20 million other things. It's like, no, you're sufficient. You're good where you are. You just have to change your mindset on how you're approaching 10 minutes of stretching, right? You can do it.
But if you watch a public TV, sometimes anything that has ads, you're doing almost, you could almost do 20 minutes of stretching within an hour. You know,
right?
You're just doing that alone is just to keep yourself busy so you don't house rigor mortis from sitting there and just watching commercials all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but it's us talking about like it's easy, just making sure people understand for them it might be the first step to getting if someone in my sense, sometimes people are so stressed that now their body's got into a shell to where if I move, it's gonna hurt. Mm-hmm. If I do that movement again, which was just picking up a pencil off the floor, my back might go out again.
Mm-hmm.
My neck might just hurt by me turning my neck, so I'm not going to turn my neck. So it's almost getting finding that underlying fear that's causing somewhat of a PTSD to help them get over that by causing a little bit of motion here and there, making another exercise feel good for them. Then they can actually get over that one to go, now I have confidence that works for me. Now how do I get the next step and next step and next step?
Right.
I think
right.
that's sometimes the wall that they can't get over, that first wall. Okay, that felt okay. What else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And some people have setbacks too, right? Where they may try something, go, it didn't work. Now what do I do? Now what's the next step? What's the plan B for me?
You know,
that's what I worry about too is, okay, if this doesn't work, well, I try to kind of preempt them. If this doesn't feel good to you, then stop it. And then we'll try something else next time you're in to make sure we can go a different direction. Versus this is not the only path you can take to health. You know, at this point, just call it quits. Make sure you get your own shovel and start digging. Start digging your own grave. No.
Right.
Stop that.
Right. Right. And I love the fact that you brought up the options. Like, if it doesn't work the first time, what stops us from changing that and trying something new?
D&D.
Right. Right. And it's always available. Like, you could do any of these things right now. It's just a matter of committing to it, which is hard. I mean, because what happens is anytime we come from a lack, whether it's feeling physically, mentally, emotionally behind, right? So definitely if we're getting therapy, our brain is already perceiving this as behind, right? Because that's why you need therapy. So
a lack of something. You're lacking something at this point.
Right, right. And so it immediately taps into what we call the primitive brain. And your primitive brain is not where you want to be thinking of. Your primitive brain really is meant for reflex type actions. But because it's the quickest to get onto the scene, it's the first one to offer you a thought. Now, the work comes in when we want to, when we manage that thought, whether we want to accept it or not, right? So
yeah,
there's times, right, where if someone throws a rock at us and we duck, thank you, primitive brain, you kept me alive, right? However, if, you know, somebody cuts you off on the freeway and you get into road rage and you want to, you know, pull up to them or, you know, or cut in front of them just to, you know,
or high beam them. Yeah. High beam
or high them. Beam them. Right.
I've heard that works. Definitely. Not really.
That's definitely not the thought you want to accept. Right. You have to say, no, thank you, primitive brain. And get into what we call the frontal lobe, higher brain functions, because that's where your creativity comes from. And I really do so much work tapping into how to activate your primitive frontal lobe, because that's where you get creativity and that's where you find the solutions for your issues. So when you present them 10 minutes of stretching and their primitive brain's like, oh, this is new, this is not good, okay, something's gone wrong, because anything new is wrong in your primitive brain, you know, how do we now activate the frontal lobe to be like, no, it's okay. We're okay. We can find 10 minutes and that's going to look like this and present you with some solutions, right? So some of them we mentioned, and that takes that frontal lobe creative part of your brain. So you have to really do a lot of exercises. Executive function is sometimes another buzzword that people use for that frontal lobe, because that's really our solution center. So we work for coaching. I work a lot on tapping into activating that part of your brain, because that essentially is the necessary part of your brain that you're going to need to accomplish any goal, to make any changes that are necessary in your current situation to live either a more productive life, a more fulfilled life, a more, you know, to thrive in whatever you're doing. So if your listeners are at all interested, look up higher brain functions, executive functions. There's so much information on how they can actually there's simple techniques to activate their higher brain, so that those 10 minutes of stretching, which makes such a huge difference in their lives, doesn't stay that overwhelming challenge. A lot of times our brain sees it as this overwhelming challenge, like, oh my goodness, I can't do it. It's like, you know, telling me to go run a marathon tomorrow, right? It's just overwhelming challenge. But really, when we activate this part of the brain, that's when we're like, oh, okay, I have this option. Oh, I have this option. Oh, I didn't even think about this option, you know? And I would say stay in that mind frame of looking for solutions. But you have to do it purposefully. So when you challenge a client like, oh, 10 minutes of stretching, they're going to have to purposely look for that time. But it's a mindset of like, okay, I'm going to do an audit on my day. What am I doing throughout the day? Oh, how can I find 5 minutes there? Oh, I can find 5 minutes there. Oh, I can find 5 minutes there. And after you do that for about a week, there's a lot of solutions you're going to come up with. And you'll probably be able to actually set aside more like half an hour rather than just 10 minutes. And then, which is great, because you just, 10 minutes for stretching, 24 more minutes that you found.
Half hour. We Jedi mind them, you know, just basically took over their brain themselves. But I like you mentioned too, the primitive brain versus the frontal lobe. So I think it's almost like in my mind, it's going to be okay. The pessimist is going to say, don't do that. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful, maybe stressful. Versus the frontal lobe is going to go, well, how do we find the time? How do we do these exercises? What can I build on top of that? How do I find solutions? So it almost is almost like, the just opposites are of your overall brain telling you to either, you said, be productive or let's hold off and not do anything, or let's be unproductive. So I like how you kind of isolate that scientifically. If we can develop that brain, that frontal brain more, become more optimistic, more on the how to find solutions versus wanting to sit back and go, I just can't do this, which is good.
Exactly.
That with, I mean, when you talk about exercises for the higher brain learning and the frontal lobe, what are good? What's an example of an exercise?
So, for instance, I always say start with what you already know, because it's already in your wheelhouse. So, what are you good at? How did you figure that out? Right. And when you take that exercise and you step it through, people learn, oh, I can totally do this. Or on the flip side, sometimes I take a challenge that a client has overcome in the past. And I said, well, what does that look like? You know, and then as you present that evidence to your brain, so I say if your clients, like they can't find the 10 minutes. Well, when are times in your life that you've had to change your routine? You know, I mean, our routines are changing constantly, right? So what are 3 different times or 5 different times that you can recall that you had to change your routine? And it, after a while, right, it was a little bit difficult. It was a little stiff feeling, right? It's so much mental work because you have to like think. It doesn't come automatically, right? But now your routine is... But now your routine is just automatic, right? And so look at that evidence of how you can do this, how you've done this. Because what happens is as soon as we tell ourselves we are sufficient, we are able to, we have the skills, then that activates that frontal lobe and allows ourselves or our brains to start to come up with the solutions to the challenges that we come in life. So for instance, if you know, an Olympic athlete or someone who wants to train for the Olympics is really good at what they do. And now maybe for a runner, they have to shave off 0.5 seconds, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure they've shaved off time in the past. And so they just have to apply that same set of principles to now shaving off 0.5 more seconds, right? And then it comes to 0.5 more seconds or maybe 0.2 when you really get up there, right? Those little minute seconds count, or milliseconds. But, you know, look at what you've been successful in, because even telling yourself that you're successful in different things already starts to activate that frontal lobe, because it's not looking at insufficiency. It's looking at a lens of sufficiency, and that automatically activates your frontal lobe. So you've got the tool. It's just digging deep into your brain to find out where those tools are. You know, just imagine having to, you know, go through your toolbox and kind of like, oh, is this the Phillips screwdriver? You know, oh, I need this screwdriver or I need this wrench, right? Yeah, you kind of have to go through there and look, right? But you've got the tools. And I always love to encourage people, like, you are sufficient. You've got the tools. Yeah. You just need to spend the time looking for them a little bit and applying what you already know to your next challenge, because that allows you not to feel stuck. Because so often people feel stuck because they're like, oh, I need someone to do this for me, or I need someone to teach me how to do this, or I need, if this would happen, then I can move forward. It's like, no, you don't need any of that. You are completely sufficient. You have it in your head. You just gotta look in there to find the solutions.
It's almost like you're telling someone you're not starting over. You've had past success in something like this before. Just got to find that success, what it was at that point, carried over to this situation, this equation, this problem you have right now, and then help build on top of that then too.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but sometimes you're starting from scratch. You're like, I'm starting with a blank slate. Like, not really. You've lived long enough. You survived long enough. You have, you're still alive. You haven't died yet. You have experiences. How do you find out about that? Like you mentioned before too, you solved this problem before. How do you solve that problem? What do you do? Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you use that same situation, look at that same YouTube video, how to do this instead. Mm-hmm. And just keep going through that solution oriented frontal lobe type of experiences versus going back, I just can't do it. I'm done. I have to call Lonnie again 5 times. No.
Right.
At what point though, do you go, okay, I've hit a wall. At what point does coaching become a benefit to someone? For their solutions, maybe a family problem or a job change, or should I go to this school, a life change, for example, right now with COVID, how do I get myself motivated to go from isolation to back to a normal, if you want to call it, healthy social life? What's a good way to start that or look for that?
Look for that. Okay. So I say coaching is not for people. I wouldn't say not for people, but you don't have to be at rock bottom. You just have to know that you're trying to achieve a goal or make a change in your life that you are unable to see for yourself, but you have confidence in the fact that you have the ability you just need to be coached through it. So for instance, if you, maybe I get these, I started a business, it was success, or it is successful, mm-hmm. but I'm really looking to take it to the next level, but it's been about a year and I haven't been able to get my new product out, or I haven't decided on my newest product, or, you know, some next level step where they want the help. They're willing to do the work mm-hmm. to find their own solutions. But because it's kind of like point of view, right? If we are going through a maze, right? If we're in the maze, it's super hard to find yeah. the exit, right? But if someone is standing on a hill behind me and they can look down in the maze, they can totally see the beginning to the end. And that's kind of my perspective. I'm like right. looking down, I'm like, okay, a little bit to the right, 10 steps ahead, you know, head to the yeah. north, you know, and as long as the person looks at it like, okay, I'm in this maze, I don't know where the exit is.
Yeah.
However, I want to find it, and I'm willing, right, to be coachable and listen to what needs to be done. And it's not a smooth process. I get resistance. No. That's part of it, right?
Yes. Uncomfortable, right? Being comfortable. Yeah.
Right. And that's totally fine. That's totally normal.
No.
Coaches do it. I mean, we're human, right? I mean, no matter how well we're coached, we're human, and our brains are going to work the way they work. And we just have to be a little smarter than them at times. So that's where the coaching is just to say, okay, I know I need some help finding my exit, and I'm willing to work with someone to help me find that exit to get me to the goal I want, right? And again, this isn't, life doesn't have to be at rock bottom.
No. It's more exciting that way, right? If it's rock bottom, I mean, it's more work to do if it's rock bottom. It's
not, right. Right. And so I would say, yeah, stuck, overwhelmed, not making progress. I've tried everything. Burnout. If you are burned yeah. out, definitely coaching is great for you because you've got the tools to do what you need to do. It's just there's something in the way that you've been handling it that just has overexhausted one of your resources.
It becomes so emotionally like, I'm just done with this. At that point, you're going to go, no, you're not done. Let's find a solution to get them back if you want to come off the floor. Get them to where, okay, now you have more energy. You just had to figure out where it is and help them figure out in their own brain where they stop trying.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's a very good way to put it. Yeah. Where did they stop trying?
That's the one thing I always in my head. I want one thing I remember in my head. But I think a lot of it is the emotional, when someone goes from, like you talked before, emotions, from anxious to depressed to now they're even, say, for example, seeking medical help. Mm-hmm. At what point do you go, okay, no, let's take a step back here and find out exactly what's going on with you so we can get you to that next step? Is there a certain point to where, at what point, once they start working on their problem, do you usually look for their aha moment, okay, they're on the right track? What's a good, if you want to call it experience with a client, that now they've found it, they're back on track. What do they usually say or do, or what's an example of that?
The biggest thing I hear is less negative self-talk. So they, you know, because that's where it comes from a lot of the time is, oh, I don't know how to do this. Oh, this happened again. Why did I do that? You mm-hmm. know, this negative self-talk. And it's not even to say that you're never going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
It's understanding that your primitive brain is really going to offer you a lot of negative self-talk and not to feel bad about it, because very often we have thoughts and we think they're actually true. So if I say, for instance, a podcast, right? A podcast, right? Podcasts make me nervous. I could totally be like, oh, sorry, Dr. Tony. They make me nervous. I can't do it. But I have the option to say, like, the thought of it is a little, makes me a little nervous, right? Mm-hmm. But in reality, I love doing this. This is so fun, like getting
to know your stuff. Yeah.
Right. And so I don't take that nervousness to mean anything about myself, like I can't do something or I'm insufficient or that it means anything negative about myself. It just means my primitive brain likes to do the same thing over and over and again. And as soon as I tell my brain that I'm going to do something a little bit different today, mm-hmm. my primitive brain freaks out because it's like, are you going to be alive at the end of that? You're doing something different. Wow. I don't know about this. Right. And so I then tell myself, like, I've done this before. I'm still mm-hmm. alive. It's going to be fine. So that is like a huge shift for my clients to actually have this outside awareness actually of themselves. Yeah. So when I talk about, you know, how I'm up and watching you through the maze, yeah. it's actually them up leveling themselves so that they can start to see the maze themselves and be like, oh, okay, I have a slightly higher perspective. Like, okay, I can start to even coach myself through some of this mm-hmm. stuff. Like, okay, a little to the left, a little to the right. And it's increasing that awareness of themselves and how their minds are working. Because, you know, when we're so close to something, we don't have the proper perspective, right? No matter who you are, your brain doesn't have that ability to see this objective point of view. You can increase that self-awareness. We can increase that self-objectivity, but it never is going to be 100%, right? So that's where coaching really comes in. To increase that self-awareness that you're not able to give mm-hmm. yourself. Kind of like when you drive, right? You know, when we first started driving, right, we had the rearview mirror and those two mirrors on the side, right? Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if you remember this, but it was really popular to get those mirrors where it went all the way across.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, to be honest with you. You lost that perception, but you could see everything, but then you know how far they are. Like, it almost made it worse. It's more dangerous. Oh, yeah. He's an engineer, so he had all the normal gadgets everywhere.
And then now we have the mirrors with, like, the little round thing at the bottom mm-hmm. or, like, this increased field of perception, right? And so that's what coaching basically does. It opens up that field of perception that you normally wouldn't have if you only had – like the one regular rearview mirror and the two regular ones, right? You're going to have blind spots, right?
So we can have, my Uncle George to say, you didn't have a rearview camera, right? On the car, the rearview cameras. Mm-hmm. So it was a touch and feel method. You went back as far as you can until you hit the car, then you move forward a little bit.
Exactly.
Painful. Car damage.
And expensive, right?
Insurance policy. Yeah, goes up. No. I get what you're saying. I think a lot of it is you're trying to get people to learn their techniques for them so they can become their own coach over time.
Right. So pointing out their blind spots, but helping them to know what it looks like to start to look in their blind mm-hmm. spots.
Yep.
And then helping them really adapt that or add to their toolbox and be able to use the tools, not even just give them the tools, mm-hmm. but how do you use these tools? And so initially, coaching starts off with, here's the tools. And then as we go along, it's like, okay, now you need to start to pull out the tools yourself so you could use them for yourself so that, you know, instead of staying with this issue for a week until we see each other again, it's like, oh, I've dealt with this, mm-hmm. and this challenge in the week because I was able to pull out my toolbox mm-hmm. and, you know, use the tools that I've been taught or you've given me. And I was able to coach myself through those challenges.
Well, you said, like, and you have that and you feel that they're getting more confident that they're using tools the right way. They're able to do that. And then you found the solution over here. So you're hearing their voice sometimes go from being not a Debbie Downer voice, but more of now they're being more positive. Now I took care of this. So you hear their excitement in their voice because they want to tell you their successes.
Yes. And so actually that's how I start my sessions. I always start my sessions with a celebration.
Nice.
Because I would encourage actually your audience to actually in the morning mm-hmm. start your day with one celebration. And it sounds a little corny sometimes, but it actually activates your frontal lobe because when you wake up in the morning, and especially if you're tired, your primitive brain is already your loudest voice. So it's like, oh my gosh, I'm late. oh my gosh, how am I going to eat breakfast? Oh, I'm going to have to skip breakfast today, right?
Here we go. Anxiety is starting. Yes.
And so if you can start before you brush your teeth, if you can give yourself a celebration, mm-hmm. you've already activated your frontal lobe, and that's just going to make finding solutions to things a lot more easy. And when you have that first aha moment, that experience of like, oh my gosh, I get it. I get that I just opened my frontal lobe. I mean, opened my mind and my frontal lobe is now working. It's this like, oh my gosh, I did this. Mm-hmm. And then you know that you can replicate that over and over and over again for yourself. And it gives you such a sense of empowerment to know that you really are so sufficient and you really can be the solver of your own problems, not other people, not other tools or techniques. I mean, yes, there's a proper time for those, but you know, your strategy, how do you want to do this? How do you go about accomplishing a goal, right? I mean, yes, that means including other people, but you know, just the overall strategy of knowing how to do it came from within yourself. And that's just an awesome feeling. And the awesome thing about that is once you felt that, you get to do that over and over for the rest of your life. And you have these tools and techniques that stay with you forever.
Yes.
Just like as you get to teach your clients how to stretch and keep healthy, they get to keep that knowledge for the rest of their lives.
Of course.
And that is so amazing.
Well, yeah, a lot of it is people will go to seminars all the time, right? About going to go do this and start this franchise or this thing over here. They're not going to fault it because no one's following up with them how to get there physically and mentally, because no one's telling them the hard part. You know, they're marketing the business or the service, the product, but the hard part is doing the work. So you get this working, the frontal lobe, I think it's right here. So at that point, your body can actually get the day started and keep the day going that way. So people go like, why is that person so happy all the time? What are they doing? You know, at that point, you become your normal every day. So you have higher energy levels. So at that point, you learn to live here versus down here all the time. You've changed all the attitude, but also your mindset, and applying it with your daily activities, like spending the 10 minutes a day, like spending 15, 20 minutes a day. So your body feels that energy and feels strong all day long and feels and positive also.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hope for everybody, right?
Yes.
But it's doing the work, I think, to be confident. And to be confident, I think, in doing the work means first being uncomfortable sometimes to get there. So then you have the tools like you had mentioned to then apply them to your life, whatever situation that might be.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so for your patients, I would encourage them to look at their physical health as, I mean, even though we know it, to tell their brain, it's just as important to feel that you invest in your physical health, because when we look at different aspects, there's something called the wheel of life, and you could definitely look it up online. There's tons of information about it. When we look at important aspects of our life, physical health is huge, huge. And if you are off balance in terms of how you view your physical fitness compared to any other part of your life, your brain is going to freak out. Even if you say, okay, I look at these six important aspects of my life, five of them are going well, but my physical fitness is very low. That gap between the rest of where you view yourself and your physical fitness, as whenever your brain sees a big gap, it starts to freak out. And then that's where the stress comes on. And so for your patients, I would say, you know, if you feel like, but I'm successful, but I'm very productive, I'm very good at what I do, no matter how good you are, if your physical fitness and you rate it as, you know, low, even if you are competent at everything else, that gap, your brain is constantly registering that, and it causes a stress in your body and a feeling of lack, because when you have that big difference in any part of your life, your brain just sees lack and you respond to it very much from your primitive brain. And so I would encourage your clients to definitely take your advice so importantly, because they need to build up their view of their physical fitness to be just as satisfying as the rest of their lives, so that overall they can be more productive people and, you know, mentally fit, physically fit, emotionally fit. Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of it is even getting them more where they may not have enough energy now for their type of work if they had switched out because of COVID, whatever mm-hmm. it is. Mm-hmm. So now how do you get themselves mentally, physically up to that point, realizing, mm-hmm. okay, it's going to be some work. And we need to get you here again, both mm-hmm. on both mm-hmm. sides, to handle that load. You can't quit your job. You can't mm-hmm. leave your family. You can't right, kick the right. dog out, right? You kick the dog out, that's considered abuse, something like that now. But it makes sure you can handle that load by making mm-hmm. your body physically and mentally healthy. I think that's a big picture, Lonnie. Mm-hmm. Lonnie, what's the best way for people to contact you and kind of reach out to you for more questions that may have that beyond being my patients that maybe they want help with too?
So Instagram is a great way. Thriving Life Coach is my IG handle or whatever you call it. And that's a great way. And I interact a lot with my audience via messaging. Mm-hmm. I love that about Instagram. It's this very personable way, even though, you know, people don't know each other, but to create this relationship. So that's definitely a great way to reach out. And I love to field questions if you have any questions about, you know, how physical fitness fits in your life, or if Dr. Tony has given you 10 minutes of stretches mm-hmm. and you're not knowing how to fit that in and
I can't
you need
help
a
you
little
talk
bit of
money, please. I talk to one, I'm beyond help there. And a lot of you're very personable from our conversation before our interview today, and you bring things down to layman's terms. You allow people to really understand it. You don't talk at a higher level, which words, again, I don't understand three syllable words anymore. It doesn't make sense to me. But I'm going to thank you for my aspect of helping to relate my patients to understand where they're coming from, to help them get to more of their frontal lobe and avoid that anxiety and things that hold them back from completing their goals and getting people if I can't do that, then go please call Lonnie, please talk to her, please Instagram her and let her know what's going on. All right. Thank you for the show, my friend. Anything else to close off? You good?
No, thank you so much for letting me share. I love this. And I look forward to staying in touch.
And my audience will catch all this. I'm going to share with my other groups also too. And I'm going to close the show and we'll wrap it up afterwards. Thanks, guys.
Sounds good.